All right, let me just pause. Jed, is that you rejoining us?
I am. I'm
perfect.
Here.
Sam, I am. Glad you are here,
yeah.
Jed. It is always a pleasure. To each of you and all of you, you are in the right place. Sam, I Am is the beginning of a Dr. Seuss book, but today is officially our Media Bids Power Hour, where we work together over the last 20-plus years helping ad sales leaders win, whether we're talking about print, digital, newsletter, website. We help you win as advertising sales professionals, and Media Bids helps you win. Jed and I have been working together. This is our 10th year together, and we love bringing you tools and resources and strategies and techniques that will help you and your team sell more, compete more aggressively, and always, always having fun every step of the way. During all of our educational programs, we always have three goals. Number one, we want to share new ideas to stretch your thinking. Number two, we want to confirm the things that you're doing are best practices. And number three, the serendipitous thoughts that come when you're in an educational program like this that you don't even know or you're not even planning for, and we absolutely love that. Just a little word as we're getting settled in, we're always going to encourage you, close your office door, turn off any background noise or electronics or whatever you can just to get settled in and really be present. Also, it's not an accident. We don't put something on the screen. Why? Because we don't want you many-tasking or multitasking. Keep it very, very simple. Print off the key points that we said we're going to cover. We will cover those key points, and the more notes that you make, the more that we will transfer or infuse the knowledge. And all that simply means is that you have to be actively listening to make notes, and all the very best in adult education, research, and learning says the more notes you make, the more you learn from our particular programs. Lastly, any questions that you have regarding today, just simply send them in by email, hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here, or a quick email to ernest@powerhour.com. With me is Jed, the CEO and founder of MediaBiz. And, Jed, we always love to hear some opening words, you, your team, the things that you're seeing across the market space. Tell us what's working in your Media Bids world and, of course, some of the things that you're so actively doing to help ad sales teams and ad sales companies win.
Great. Thanks very much, Ernest. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Thank you to Ernest, who does a great job with these teleseminars and brings an enormous amount of knowledge to each one. MediaBids is a company that is devoted to driving revenue to publications. We are entirely focused on coming up with new ways to increase revenue for print publications and their online components, but we really focus on print. We seek out advertisers who are looking for the types of customers that print can deliver. And as a result, we're able to drive revenue that was normally spent online and drive it back into print. We've done this with tens of millions of dollars over the past couple years, and we continue to grow. So if you're not currently using us, we encourage you to give us a call, check out our website. If you are currently using us, thank you, and we're always happy to talk to you about how you can use us to a greater extent. Again, thanks to Ernest, and I encourage all of you to check out his other offerings. He does weekly teleseminars, which are also extremely educational. Again, thanks to him, because without him, these teleseminars really wouldn't be nearly as educational and enlightening as they are.
Well, Jed, thank you so much. I appreciate your kind words, and for all of you and for each of you, we do want to encourage you to go take a look at MediaBids. If you're not already working with them, they work with tens of thousands of publications. They literally have millions, with an S, of inbound calls and leads that come from the ads that are run. You get paid, you win, the advertisers win. And what I really love, Jed, is you also are bringing in regional, national, and global advertisers, which helps publications have a nice rounded out story about the kinds of advertisers. It lets them upsell into other regionals or nationals or global advertisers. Really a wonderful combination the way that works. So thank you so much. And to all of you, my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I began in the advertising sales industry in 1986, launched three of my own publications, was a leader in a billion-dollar media group, launched Power Hour in 1985. So literally 20 years ago, we've coached and we've guided more than 2,000 advertising sales companies and their teams in 11 time zones around the world over the last 20 years. So we really, there's this universal theme about advertising sales success. We understand print. We understand e-newsletters. We understand SEO and website success. And, of course, certainly have a deep passion for the work that we do across LinkedIn. With LinkedIn having more than 2 million groups, we run one of the top 200 in the world. We have more than 130,000 daily readers. That equals a footprint of 50 million annualized. Think about that from a advertising marketing perspective, and have a real passion about LinkedIn and the kind of areas that it takes to what it takes to succeed specifically on LinkedIn. Lastly, yes, on every Tuesday we have an advertising sales academy. We have a set window that we meet every single Tuesday, and it's open mic. And what that means is we send you a topic on Monday for maybe 10 or 12 minutes. You listen to that topical area. And then we help you with the strategies and field your questions on Tuesday. And it's live. So it's like this. It's as easy as dialing in, but it's live, which means that you can field questions, we can hear your voice, or your emails are coming in, and we have wonderful success every week related to that. So today we're going to be talking about ad sales leadership. We're going to talk about leading with passion, with focus, and generating optimize results on the other side. The other piece that we're going to be talking about is your career advancement, right? Wherever you are in your sales path, where are you today and where would you like to be? So this is going to be a combination of, what makes for extraordinary ad sales success, what helps you achieve success and your team create success, and then the other side of that, how does all of this tie into your career path? So we're going to open up with a formula for success. And over the last 20 years of working with leaders like all of you and helping you learn and win and grow and succeed, there are some reoccurring themes of the things that we've seen and the strategies that we have either seen or that we've coached our clients to do, to achieve, to accomplish, and have seen extraordinary results. So, Jed, we're going to open up with, there's 10 key points we're going to cover here, but the first point has 5 sub-points, okay? So we're going to start with the 5 Fs. I mean, we are really a big believer in the importance of family, those who love you, those who you love. And the reason we start with this is because it's always a reminder that you can't go out and sell great ads when you don't have home base square, okay? Quick example, and Jed, I'm sure we've all seen examples that, you're working with an ad salesperson on your team and he or she are rocking, and then something happens on the personal or family side, the loss of a loved one, a marital issue, health issues with a child maybe, health issues or aging issues with an elder parent, all of these things. I'll never forget, I was in Southern California. I hired this absolute rock star, and we were going to begin in a couple of weeks, and on like Thursday before he was supposed to begin on that Monday, he reached out to me and said, look, I got to tell you, I'm moving back to Kansas. I'm like, what? You're starting on Monday. He goes, I can't and I won't. I'm crushed to tell you this, but I've got some aging parents that are really struggling. I'm going back home to take care of mom and dad, And that, Jed, was one of those bell ringers. I probably didn't realize at that moment or prior to the reality, I hadn't had enough experience to know that when things come up on the family side, kind of everything else shuts down as it should, but it does impact us day in, day out. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. I mean, it's sort of the foundation, right? It's hard to concentrate on selling when you're when you've got bigger issues.
Absolutely. So we always put family first. And another important part, whenever we're working with ad sales leaders and the presidents of ad sales and media companies, you know, we get to know them and their teams and so forth, and we get to learn about them. And this conversation about, you know, what else is going on in your world? What are your hobbies, your sports, your family, your children? It's just fascinating to learn. And we always come from the side of family, right? Family is that foundation. And right behind that on the five F's is faith, right? Whatever your particular faith is or your beliefs are, hey, you know, we really appreciate that. And the deepening of our faith is also about, you know, a strong foundation, okay? And that's where we're kind of setting the tone to get started here. The part about fitness, the third F, fitness is what? Healthy body, healthy mind. I have a client in the Northwest who once said to me, hey, I'm not as active as I'd like to be or could be. And I just said these words, Jed. I said, hey, I said, Bob, I said, would you be willing to do 1 minute a day of workout? He laughed at me. I said, just 1 minute. I said, if you do 1 minute, send me an email. We'll work on this for the next 21 days. Send me an email. Let me know you worked out for 1 minute. He goes, that is the most ridiculous thing. Of course I can do 1 minute. I said, good, let's start with a small goal. That 1 minute became 21 minutes, became 61 minutes. Bob has lost 80 pounds as a result of me challenging him to do 1 minute of working out. Plus his wife is involved and his two children are involved. Their heating habits got better, their grocery shopping, everything changed. And the point that I'm making here, we promise there's a whole lot more we have to say about ad sales, but the other point is that fitness, healthy body, healthy mind, can you do 1 minute, is one of those smallest challenges. And then have an accountability partner. In my case, I said, send me an email every day, and if it's a zero, I'll accept the zero today, but don't send me two zeros in a row. What I really was saying to him, Jed, was, if you send me a second zero, I'm calling you. We're getting on the line. I'm going, are you kidding me? I said 1 minute. And he said, you know, last night I didn't want to give you a zero, he said, so I ran up and down the stairs. Does that count? I said, yes, it does. So as long as you did it before midnight. So you see, that's the part, you know. And then that ties into the next F, which is food, and food is fuel. Okay, so what fuels you? Just be aware. This isn't, a Weight Watchers call. This isn't a, you know, eat well call. This is just the reminder that, you know, if you eat well, you feel good, and you therefore sell more ads. All of this ties together. Okay, you sell more ads because you don't have the afternoon bonk. You sell more ads because you didn't drink 12 cups of coffee, you have no breakfast this morning. You sell more ads because you don't crash in the afternoon, meaning that, you know, so look, there's tons out there in the world of eating well, but we believe it's important. And the last F tied to our first point here is financial success. The last F just says when you get all the pieces grooving along, you financially are rewarded. You earn more, you earn more commissions, you sell more ads, you get our drift, you know what we're talking about, okay? So a firm foundation, but we have to put that out there because you cannot build a beautiful, strong pyramid of success on shaky sand, okay, or on ground that's not rock solid. I've been watching Jed in New York. You know I love tennis, and they're finally putting a roof over the U.S. Open Stadium, right? So when it rains, as it inevitably does in September, you can still watch a match. But you know what the challenge was? It's a landfill, and the ground is soft. So in order to engineer the roof that they're putting over that stadium, it's taken them years and years to craft it in a way that the supporting structure would not sink, right? So what are we talking about? Wow. Once again, if you're going to put a big roof over, you need what? Strong footing. Same thing here. If you want strong ad sales, if you want a fast growing career path, if you want more compensation, if you want more responsibility in the ad sales world, you've got to put that on a firm base. And we always begin talking to our clients around these areas to get started. It's a reoccurring theme. Number two, big rocks. Big Rock says this: on any given day, as you started today, what were your big rocks? What were your big rocks personally? What were your big rocks professionally? Big rocks are the absolute must-dos. For example, Jed, if your son or daughter has a soccer game at 4:30, guess what? You're going to work your tail off all day long, start it early, squeeze whatever you have to do, work later on if you have to do what? Be at your son or daughter's soccer game. period.
Right.
We call that living a life of no regrets. This is part of, you know, what we believe, again, is about that formula for success. Because when you take care of home base and your family and you do the things you love, then everything else lines up. As you also started today, though, you also had two or three things that were the big rocks that have to be done. A big renewal, a big sales presentation, your meeting regarding, you know, soon-to-be budgets or a new hire or an interview, whatever it might be. What were the big rocks for today that you planned for yesterday? We do not believe that today you got to put your shoes on and looked left, looked right, and said, holy smokes, this day is going to be crazy. Really? We should have known that or needed to know that yesterday and prepared for it. So you woke up today with a smile and a recommendation, front-load your big rocks. Because, Jed, like you know, I used to say in my corporate days, gee, the day that I planned and the day that I had were two different things. What happened to my day? You know, I think
right.
There's a rule of thumb. If I can make it to noon, Jed, with my big rocks and get those done, then whatever comes in the afternoon is cool because I took care of the big stuff early in the day. Does that make sense, Jed?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure I'm like a lot of people in that I tend to get go from crisis to crisis very often,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is exactly what you're suggesting avoiding. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Well, how about this? On any given day, we know that there will be crisis to crisis coming. We know at some point today our hair may be on fire, even if it's for 30 seconds. But the reality is if we front load, like, for example, I like to do interviews early in the morning. So if it meant that I got into my corporate office and got there at 6 a.m., had my first interview, my next one at 7, my next one at 8, I was done by 9. And I had two or three big interviews that were done. I was looking to maybe make a new hire. Then I was ready for my day. Okay, if I scheduled those at 1, 2, and 3, who knows my state of mind? Who knows if I was, you know, that natural lull in the afternoon? Who knows what, you know, crises I had that given day? I'm not going to be fully present and ready to do my best at 1, 2, and 3 for a job interview when I really would prefer to do those early in the morning. So point number two, big rocks. Point number three and point number four, interesting companion points. Point number three is massive daily action. Point number four is quiet think time. So let's kind of work on both sides of this equation. Point number three is massive daily action. When given a project, so how about, for example, mastering LinkedIn? How about some new software your company has brought on board? How about understanding some new distribution or SERP news that's rolling out? Whatever it may be, massive daily action says get in there and learn it. Get in there and really learn and master it. Massive daily action, or it's a problem. You know, you're having a problem with your direct mail list for your control CERC. All right, you're having a problem because you're not getting the reporting you need for your paid or your free CERC, depending on what's going on. Or maybe you're not getting the information you need about your e-newsletter, or your Google Analytics report is not giving you the stats that you need tied to your SEO, tied to your upcoming renewals and presentations. Or your phone lines are bringing in robocalls. That's interesting. I thought the plumber was getting 400 calls. They're actually getting 200 calls. What just happened? Massive daily action, MDA. Okay, the other side of that is find during the course of a day quiet time. Point number four is the opposite. All right, this is where you have that think time that gives you an opportunity to think strategically. Jed, sometimes I'll find that at the start of a day. Sometimes I'll do a little walkabout. My team knows in my corporate office today, if they want to meet with me, sometimes the best meeting is we just get out and walk and talk a little bit. Or the end of the day, I try to find little islands, little oases, little moments that I can think strategically. How is my day going? I call it herding the sheep. How is my day going? Is it the day I planned? How did my big rocks go? Did everything happen? By the way, one of the big rocks here today, Jed, happened yesterday, which is to make certain that my team had sent out all invitations, had sent out all confirmations. I had big rocks called. Have I done my prep? Right? There was another big rock to make certain that you and I were connected, and we spoke a little earlier today. You know, all of those things were part of the big rocks that were floating out there to make certain that today happened what? Perfectly. That today happened magnificent. And at the end of the day, I'm going to take a couple of minutes and pause and say, what were my big rocks? And if I had to score them on a scale of 1 to 10, were they a 1 or were they a 10? And that's really the essence here. We're going to be ad sales leaders. We ask ourselves, every single day is a gold medal performance. You can't walk through the door and say, hey, sorry, I'm only halfway in today. Hey, sorry, I'm having another bad day. You can't say that to your advertisers. You can't say that to your renewal appointments. Your competitors would love to hear and know that. You can't say that to your ad sales leader. And you can't imagine getting career advancement with that kind of approach or attitude. So you ask yourself, hey, if I'm walking in and today is a two, tomorrow could not be a two. And I need to ask myself, why was it a two and not a 10? Hold that standard high and ensure that your big rocks are in alignment with what you have cooking. And Jed, this piece about quiet time, right? In the course of any day, it doesn't always happen, but when it does, it lets us think strategically about what's moving around. Yes?
Yeah, it's really important, and I think that it's probably something that we all ignore way too often. I know for myself, there's sort of, days and days go by before I sort of realize, wow, I'm not really concentrating on the things that I should be concentrating on, I'm not concentrating on the most important things. It's hard, especially in an office context, and that's why I think your idea of sort of getting out of the office a little bit, it probably makes a lot of sense, because oftentimes you come up with better ideas and better solutions, right, when you're away from that kind of constant crush of issues and problems and, whatever it may be, just as minor as they may be, you just get sucked into them.
You're absolutely right.
I oftentimes find that, on vacations, right, it's sort of where I tend to come back with sort of better ideas but I think it's a good suggestion, and I probably should try to carve out some time in an average day to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Jed, it is interesting about vacations, because some of my biggest thoughts and biggest expansions of my own company have also come while on vacation. Because you are right, you get these long, concentrated periods of time. For example, the recruiting division of Power Hour came directly from a vacation I'll never forget, sitting there going, oh my gosh, Eureka, my clients need people, we have great people, we marry them up, it's recruiting. Over the years, our buy-sell, the opportunity to help our clients buy other media groups or sell their media groups came from that. Our search engine optimization, all of these pieces, and even things like going deep into LinkedIn 5-6 years ago, several years ago looking at the business side of Facebook, more recently looking at Twitter and how it all fits in together. All of these things have come in the quiet of those opportunities to kind of breathe and think strategically. But here's the piece. If we only wait for or look for vacations, which are wonderful, we get longer periods of time, but the fact is that we want those little bite-sized opportunities even daily and even weekly, because, we're not vacationing every week.
Right.
We want those little islands more often.
Right.
So very important.
Yeah, the other thing which really comes out of vacation, mm-hmm. The other thing which comes out of vacations, which I think is just amazing, is that, very often as a manager in an organization, you assume that every problem needs your assistance. And the truth is, it really doesn't, right? I mean, you kind of learn that on vacations, is that, the same stuff happens when you're not in the office, and people figure it out, and you're not maybe as critical to those sort of daily issues as you thought you were.
Mm-hmm. last year I shared a presentation called 300 Plus Days on the Road, Here's What We've Learned, right? And that is exactly the point. I literally, for this period of almost 2 years, traveled around the world, and my team ran the company without me being physically in the office. Now, that was an interesting laboratory, and it was exactly what you're talking about, is that you realize that things will go on, and it also causes you to pause and realize that, there are things that you just don't have to have your hand in, and then there's other things that you pause and say, wow, I thought, you know, this person was better trained, or I thought this system was better developed, and it was or it wasn't. So it's a very interesting exercise, isn't it, Jed?
Yeah, right. And I think it really, you see it a lot better when you're not right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You bet. So let's continue. The next point, point number five of the 10 that we agreed to cover. Point number five is a reminder. And Jed, I'll often say to a client, an ad sales team, we might be working, for example, on a media kit, and I'll say, hey, listen, give me 80% of something rather than 100% of nothing. Hey, I know you're working on that big renewal, but I'd like to see it this afternoon so you can sleep on it, so I can sleep on it. I'll see it this afternoon. I'll send you my feedback either later on or in the morning, and then you'll be set and ready to go. Give me 80% of something. So it's a reminder that nothing's ever perfect. It's another reminder that no sooner do you finish that media kit or that renewal prep and you get ready for the next one that you have some other tweaks that you want to make. For example, Jed, every Tuesday in our Ad Sales Academy, every second Tuesday we work on our media kit. So 12 times a year in the course of the year, we work on some aspect, 18 key areas that what we believe goes into a successful media presentation and a media kit opportunity, and we're always looking to refine it, to improve it, to add more information, to include information that's new and relevant, and then, of course, to remove things that are no longer. We've made, you know, categorical shifts in our editorial content, our delivery or distribution, our website success. You know, in other words, there are things that we might be adding and deleting during the course of any given 30 days. So it's never the point is that we're never striving for perfect or perfection. You know, things, technology, the speed of social media, the speed of the news that comes at us is moving so fast that we can't stop to hold the river like maybe in the old days that we could. You know, you had three TV channels, you had a couple of radio dials, you had to actually get off the couch to turn a channel. You know, in those days, life was a lot simpler. I think the only thing I remember was going to school and going outside with my three brothers and playing kickball or softball or football until, you know, the sun went down. That was it. Life was simple. It's not today. We're forever connected. It's never going to be perfect. Draw a line in the sand, show us 80% of something is another one of these success formulas when you're thinking about each of your days. Number six, identify and face the things you fear most. Quick example on this, we sometimes hear from those that we coach and work with here at Power Hour that speaking isn't something that they tremendously enjoy. They enjoy the one-to-one, they enjoy small groups, put you in front of or put a group of 50 or 100 or 500 in front of you, say, wow, you know, that's a whole different kettle of fish. You know, that's where we say, hey, listen, you know, let's embrace that. There's a group called Toastmasters. You can speak every single week. You can learn to improve your speaking skills. Go find those things that you fear the most. You know, is it about a PowerPoint presentation? Is it about sitting down with your CFO and working on budgets or financial performance on a monthly basis? You know, what is it that challenges you? Is it about pulling in the incredible amount of data that we have to aggregate today? You know, how many inbound phone calls came from Bob's Plumber? How many clicks came through that form? What about tying in the renewal over here with the number of website views? And what are we going to, you know, it goes on and on, the things that we need to know. And maybe that's an area that you're not fully embracing, and yet we know it's vitally critical to our success as ad sales leaders. So face the things that are your most significant challenges and address them and continue to grow. This is how you bring more joy to the work you do. This is how you have more pride in what you're accomplishing, but it also means more career advancement, okay, more career opportunities, and that's the reason we tie this in. Jed, any comments on that, you know, related to sort of facing our fears or the principle of it's never going to be perfect?
Yeah, I mean, I think that... You know, I think some of the biggest challenges with that is just sort of is understanding what your fears really are, right? And I think that, you know, over the years there have been several things that I felt I was pretty good at that I probably wasn't, and so it's really kind of not only taking action to address your fears, right, but also but also identifying them. And that takes some self-criticism, which sometimes can be difficult.
You're absolutely right to be honest with ourselves, right, with the things that are challenges for us, to reach out for additional training or coaching or support, to be honest with your managers, you know, rather than, every single time I sit down with, you know, our CFO, I feel like I'm never prepared for the meeting. Gee, every time I sit down to review financials, I feel like I never have enough information. Well, the real honest piece is it's not your passion, or the real honest piece is you don't know what to look for or what to prepare for. Those are the honest questions, okay? And Jed, it's such a good point that you make, because we sort of, in our coaching here at Power Hour and with our clients, we call that out. We call them out and say, hey, listen, hang on. Is it that you really don't know, you know, how to prepare for that financial meeting? Is it that you really don't want that role or responsibility, which is a career path conversation? You know, or is it that, you know, frankly, your CFO every single month brings a different, you know, spray of questions? Well, let's talk about, you know, what's really actually happening in those meetings. So embrace the things that you fear the most and move towards the heat, not away from it. Point number 7 sinks in as well, and it's a principle called feed forward. Feed forward says that if you want to be somewhere or go somewhere in your career path, you've got to call it out. If you want to be the marketing director, for example, for your media group, and you really want to be the aggregator and you want to run point, you've got to call that out. I'm not going to know or imagine what your goals are. Okay, and you've got to say, hey, listen, I'm going to run all day long and take care of the following things, but on my own time, I'm going to do A, B, and C towards the marketing of our media group or our media solutions, because I really want that marketing role. Feed forward says that we use the principle to share with those on our team at our peer level or above us to project where we want to go, so they know what it is that we most want. It's a very important principle. We also use feed forward when a team member is derailing. For example, if we learn that Mary has a really short fuse and has had a couple of really sort of embarrassing, awkward, or angry moments in an office setting, for example, and Mary comes to us, or the team leader comes to us, we talk to Mary about the principle of feed forward and say, look, Mary, you know, here are the things that you're addressing. Here are the reasons why we're here together. Listen, you're going to speak to those around you that work with you to say, I'm really working on my temper. If you see me having a good day and I'm not losing my cool, please let me know. But if I lose my cool, please hold me accountable. Please call me out. Feed forward means that you can significantly improve your weaknesses or improve your brand and thus further accelerate your career path related to that. Point number 8, deliver on your words. This is just good old-fashioned, deliver on your promise, and there's really there's no way around it. You say you're going to have a report ready by 4 o'clock, deliver on it by 4. In fact, have it there by 3. If you say you're going to be ready for a renewal meeting that's going to start at 11 o'clock, have it ready by 10:30, maybe even by 10, by 9:30. The point is, be a person of your word and deliver. Point number 9, positively outrageous service is one of these sort of reoccurring themes, Jed, that we see in and around advertising sales leaders at the very pinnacle, the top 1% around the world. They are always looking for ways to delight their advertisers, their ad agencies. They're always looking to engage in special, unique ways with potential advertisers. We recently had an academy meeting that we talked about 17 creative ways to get the attention of a media buyer, for example. We call that positively outrageous service, playing well above and beyond, not, hi, this is Leroy, you want to buy an ad, our deadline's on Tuesday. Right? Jed, we know how much success that has, right?
So
positively outrageous service. And the last one, point number 10, as we wrap up the 10 key points, is root cause. Earlier when, Jed, you were saying, hey, listen, I wonder what the crises will be today, or hey, you know, the day was fast-paced. We, you know, there are those problems that hit our desk. Okay, gee, I didn't get my distribution report. Wow, I don't have my Google Analytics. How do I run my renewal? Where's my phone tracking? I'm missing the last quarter. I'm going into a big presentation. You know, these are opportunities to say, look, I got to fix the problem now. Put a Band-Aid on it, get it fixed. But the real root cause is I don't have that report because our marketing person doesn't know that I need that every single Monday. I don't have that report because my inside support person didn't look at my calendar yesterday and didn't prepare it for me. So go always to the root cause. Fix the problem you have, and then go to the root cause in order to really get to the core of why we are here. Jed, your comments or observations on that?
No, I think it's a good point, and I think that I think that very often people in a management position are very conscious, I think, as they should be, of sort of including other people and making sure that everyone feels like they're sort of a stakeholder in the decision. I think oftentimes sort of decisiveness and getting problems fixed and, as you mentioned, sort of, you know, corrected going forward requires sort of a little bit of authoritarianism, which essentially becomes a manager's job, right? I mean, a manager that isn't being decisive isn't being a very good manager. So I think you're right. I think getting to the root cause, figuring out how it can be corrected and solved for going forward, you know, is a big part of the equation.
Mm-hmm. It really is, because if we don't get to the root cause, right? It's even as something as simple as we were coming home from dinner last night, and my wife turned to me and said, "Hey, listen, here's what's on tap for tomorrow. Bing, bing, bing. Hey, let's get gas tonight because it's low, and you got a full day tomorrow." And I was like, "Oh, you're right. Thanks." It's even that small little piece, rather than waking up going, "How come four times this week the gas tank is empty and I'm always late to my meetings?" Root cause. Okay, it's all of those things. How come I'm preparing for a renewal, and every time I go to get my phone tracking report, it's not there? The root cause is the marketing person isn't looking at my renewal calendar, and therefore doesn't know that I needed it today. So the root cause is I've got to communicate and say, "Look, before you end each day, look at my calendar for the next day, pull in the phone tracking stats. I need that for my upcoming meeting." Otherwise, you're going to have a crisis of the day. You got a meeting at 11, and it's 10:48, and you just are pulling in or just getting, or maybe don't even have, the phone tracking results for, you know, Larry the plumber that you want to go sell, you know, some big campaign or renew some big campaign or go sell a new campaign. So those are the kinds of things that are kind of moving around related to root cause. And listen, as we continue to roll along here today, please, any questions that you have about the points that we're covering, we're working and weaving in your questions, but we'll continue to field those. Just hit reply to the confirmation or simply send an email to Ernest@powerhour.com, and we'll work and weave those in. Point number two is really about team, and is your team winning? Okay, now this is, again, like the double word in Scrabble. For those of you that are ad sales leaders, be thinking about those who are on your team. For those of you who are ad sales professionals, you're on the other side thinking about, gee, if that's what makes a great team, these are the things I need to be incorporating or thinking about, because one day I'm going to be that team leader. That's part of my career path. So there are six key points here related to a team winning. And by the way, these are all tucked in and around over the 10 years that Jed and myself have worked together, right, during these kinds of programs. These have been tucked in a variety of ways. Some are portions of programs we've done. Some are full on. There's an entire hour long. For example, one of the first pieces about a winning team is, you know, who do you hire and how are they doing? And there are 9 key steps for making great hires. If you want beautiful sculpture, you've got to have great clay. Okay? There's no shortcut about that. Sort of like they say in Texas, "Nuff said." You have to have great people. Number two, we have to onboard them really well. And onboard them has nothing to do with Bill starting on Monday and you saying, "Hey, welcome to the team." It actually started like a week before. Okay? Everything from business cards to media kit, information updated and current, to their desk prepared with anything that they need, you know, from an organizational perspective, to their computer is sitting there, organized, set up, passwords, everything is there. The training department's anticipating them to be there, and there's even a mentor that's going to guide them over the course of the first 30 days, and they're going to meet on the first day. You have all of these moving parts. How we onboard is in direct proportion to what? Employment and employee satisfaction. Because it means from hello, first impressions mean everything. It means from hello that that person is delighted to be on board. Never forget, there's a little caveat here. When someone new joins a team, if you've ever wondered why someone joins on Monday and leaves on Friday, I'll tell you why. They weren't impressed with your onboarding. They didn't say no to the other companies that had offered them jobs. They stepped into your world, saw chaos, and stepped out. If you ever want to know what happened, if you've ever lost someone in the first 5 days of employment, that's what happened. All right? So it's very important to recognize how we onboard is absolutely key to helping our team win, to optimize results, and to help you in your career path. We're talking about all of these themes together. Number three, what is the focus of the first 30, 60, and 90 days? What is the game plan? Not just the onboarding and let's go for lunch the first day. How will you train them? How will you flow them into their existing advertisers? How will you flow them into their prospects, their ad agencies? How will you tie them into learning all that you do on the print, e-newsletter, SEO, website, digital side? How are you weaving all of that story together? Let's get real. It's complex. Let's talk about our direct competitors and our media comparisons. We have a lot of work to do over the first 30, 60, 90 days, and we look for a blueprint for that. Point number four, and then I'll pause. Point number four is, hey, we're 45 days in. It's not going well. We have a new hire. What is our game plan? You know, their morale is low. They're not assimilating quick enough. It's not going well. You're 45 days in. How do you handle that as a leader? How do you handle that as a team member? It happens. With all the best of intentions, we hire great people, and it, you know, it doesn't always groove along. Jed, your comments and observations about these first couple of points as we're rolling in here.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, but I think you're right. I mean, I think that it's you know, selling your organization in the first few days, you know, to them is as important as anything. I mean, it kind of defines, you know, people deliver what they assume is being expected of them, and if you're not sort of showing them what's being expected of them by your preparation and by your you know, your initial expectations, then I think it sets the tone pretty quickly. And it's really hard to change that, right? I mean, once you've sort of, you know, whether or not someone leaves, right, is sort of besides the point. I mean, it's tough to turn the tide on someone's attitude and work habits once they've been established.
That's exactly correct, which is why, Jed, it's so important that we start new hires on the right foot and give them everything that they need. And part of our coaching is a new hire checklist, which includes all of the training mapped out for the first 30, 60, 90 days, all of the specific areas, all the people's names involved, who's responsible for which part of the training, and a placeholder for what? Dual signatures. The new hire initials off, and the CFO initials off. The new hire initials off, and the art director signals off. The new, you know, new hire signals off, and the editorial director. In other words, there's a dual sign-off that everyone knows their role in the training, and the new hire is signing off every step of the way that they're getting what they need, and that piece is key. Last two points related to team success. We are big believers in dashboards that measure performance, the key indicators. We have helped our clients build hundreds and hundreds of dashboards over the years. We have tons of examples. Every single one of our clients has unique examples of the things that they track, the things that they that matter to them, whether it's new ad sales, whether it's revenue profitability, whether it's agreement lengths, whether it's renewal percentages, whether it's number of presentations, whether it's collections, goes on and on and on, all the possible things. Each of you have to determine what are the most salient and the most relevant that you're looking at by day, by week, by month, by quarter. So you have those things in front of you. It's sort of, again, like driving a car. You look at the key dials. I mean, there are a gazillion things going on under the hood of your car today. Frankly, you're driving mini computers, which we all are today. The reality is, though, there's only a few dials that are on your dashboard. Let's see. There's my gas tank. There's my battery. There's my heat, you know, the temperature of the engine. There's a couple things. How fast am I going? How much more do I need, and how much more can I possibly digest? But those are the key indicators. Think about your biz related to that. And so long as we're talking about team, do think about turnover, the ability to keep those on your team, or the cost of what it's taking in terms of turnover. The last point, point number six that we promised to cover, remember that we're coaching for success, not failure. Okay? We're big believers, and we've done an entire programs. We do a lot of this work also in our academy. We talk about one-on-one meetings. One-on-one meetings are mandatory in ad sales success. And all it means is that whether, you know, the sky is blue, purple, or green, whether you're having a good day, week, month, or year, we meet every week. Even if it's 10 minutes, what are you proud of? Where do you need my help? What's on tap for this week? Okay? That means we're coaching for success rather than the only time I bring Mary into my office is when I'm not happy. Well, it's very quick for Mary to see that if she gets called to my office 2 o'clock on a Tuesday, I'm not happy. And therefore, that rips across the entire team and your entire organization that you're known as a leader for only pulling people in when things are not going well from your perception. Maybe your reality, but the perception and the reality from your team is that you're only managing from the failure side. And that, of course, creates a very negative environment. So, Jed, lots to cover here and lots we've shared about team and team success overall. I'm going to transition to the last point for today. And I want us all to really think about our career paths. This is a bit of a shift that we sort of said, look, if we're talking about our success formula, which is where we opened up, if we're talking about our team and what makes for great team, let's go to the other side and think about our career path. And some of you will say, hey, and we saw some of the questions related to this, my career path is not moving where I wanted it to go, or my career path is not moving fast enough. Look, we get that, and it is a placeholder for that, okay? Because it starts with, what is it you really want? You know, where are you really going? What is it you've accomplished? What is most important to you? But why is it moving too fast? Why is it not moving fast enough? Why is it not going in the direction, okay, that you want it to be? And also, let's remember, because of the world of technology, there are positions and opportunities that didn't exist. What was Jed, what was a social media manager 5 years ago?
I think it might have been someone who worked at a bar.
Yeah, right? Social media manager, that's right. Or at the YMCA, that's right. Good, I like that, right? What was the term reputation management manager? What was search engine optimization? You know, VP of SEO. That title didn't even exist, you know, 8 and 10 years ago. So the point here is that, you know, the world is moving rapidly, technology is moving rapidly, and our ad sales selling space is also moving rapidly. What were Google AdWords a decade ago? Okay? I mean, you know, 2 decades ago. You know, so you think about that and you ask yourself related to your career. So there's some guiding questions related to career path and accelerating that. So number one, we love the Covey principle, focus with the end in mind. Where do you really want to be 1, 3, 5, 7, 10 years from today? Where do you want to live? What do you want to be doing? How do you want to be doing it with your current company? You know, what is it you want most? Focus with the end in mind. Point number two, I wish blank by when blank. The I wish question opens up the possibilities. What are you wishing for and by when? And what are you willing to do to go do that? I was working with a client in the Boston area on the East Coast, and we were talking about this piece, and he said, listen, in addition to what I'm currently doing in my ad sales, I also want another opportunity with my company. I said, great, I want you to go to your VP. I want you to utilize the feed-forward process, and I want you to tell the VP that you're going to start your day an hour early, you're going to end it an hour later, and you're going to work on this particular assignment because this is an important part of your career path. And he says to me, you know, do you think my VP will agree to that? I said, first off, you're doing it on your own time. Secondly, you're not asking for any additional compensation. Third, you're sharing that you want to be an integral part of the overall team, that you want to be a vital part, and that you want this opportunity. I said, I can assure you that the VP will say yes, of which they did say yes, and my client was rather excited. I was like, wow, I'm glad you're excited, but I would have been stunned if you got anything but a yes. So what are you wishing for? Point number three also syncs up. I want to learn blank. What do you want to learn going forward, Jed? Let's agree that the speed and pace, right, of the world that we live in today, learning is a vital part of what we're all doing. Look at the work you're doing around media bids. Look at where it's evolved from the earliest days, months, and years to where you are today. How much learning have you and your team have had to do in order to get where you are today?
Yeah, I mean, it's embarrassing, right? What we knew when we first started. It's you think you know what's going on, and you really have no idea. And if you talk to people in any successful company, and they're honest with you, 9 times out of 10 they'll say, you know, we started with one premise, but we morphed into something else. And it's really that ability to sort of keep learning and to keep changing and to keep adapting that really separates successful people and businesses from unsuccessful ones. I mean, even companies, for example, like, you know, you see what's going on with Microsoft now, you know, I mean, you think to yourself, you know, I mean, Microsoft owned the world 20 years ago, right? I mean, they were untouchable. And now, you know, now they're having to really adapt their business to a much different type of business environment and computing environment. And so it's no different for the rest of us, you know. And I think that, you know, especially when it comes to people in publications, it's you know, the world is changing all the time. You know, you've said it many times. It's a very exciting time to be in this type of a business. You know, to be in ad sales and to be in publishing, because it's the world is different today than it was, you know, even a year ago.
And it is interesting, Jed. You're right. What a perfect example with Microsoft. They own the world. They own everything. And yet, what have they missed? Let's see. They missed social media platforms. They missed mobile success. I heard something along the lines of Apple controls 92% or owns 92% of the profits in the smartphone sector, but only produces 20% of the phones. I was like, wow, right. Isn't that compelling? I remember the days when Microsoft was squashing Apple, and there were days and periods of time where Apple's long shelf life, I mean, all they did, frankly, at best, was carve out the education market, right? They went and sold the schools. That's all they could do. It really was literally nothing but a shell of a company. Microsoft missed the whole search engine, you know, space, and look at the dollars of what's being picked up by Google on that side of the house. And then, of course, they also missed the Linux and the operating systems that drives behind the scenes the operating systems for the servers and the websites behind this. You know, so, yeah, a company like Microsoft, as big as they are, at some point stopped playing offense and only leaned back and collected unbelievable profits on the other side, but they stopped learning, they stopped growing, and here they are today struggling. You know, and the layoff that happened was about 8,000 or 9,000 people that were just laid off, you know, just this past week, and I think that's a sign of the continued times, because there's not enough good stuff cooking around Microsoft. Look at their alliance working on the search with Yahoo. 10-year contract, right. An abysmal failure. abysmal. They represent about 12% of the overall searches. If you've ever done a search on Bing and said, I want to buy a red kangaroo, Lord knows, you'll never know what you're going to get. It'll probably be a pink giraffe or something. So very important. We want to, you know, things that we want, I want to learn. Point number three. Point number four, okay? I want this industry designation. Now, that's, again, about learning. Depending on the industries, depending on the associations that you're involved in, there is certification that you can earn, that you can get within the associations where you spend most of your time selling your ad space. We're going to always encourage you to take a look at it. And is it worth pursuing? And if it is, we're going to encourage you to go do that. Speaking of associations, point number five, I want blank for my association visibility and involvement. What are we saying here? Don't write an annual check. And if you're part of the Association of Automobile Dealers and 30% of your ad sales revenue comes from auto dealers, don't just write the check once a year and show up at the rubber chicken, you know, luncheons. Be on the board. Be a presenter. Write for their website, their blog, or their print publication for their auto dealers. You know, be on the committee for their annual golf tournament or fundraiser, whatever it might be. Find a way to raise your visibility and raise your success within the associations, and that part is key. Point number six, I need this kind of training or coaching. This goes back to earlier when we talked about face your fears. Same principle, okay? Point number seven, I want this level of compensation, dollars. What is it you're playing for? Quick story on this. My nephew reached out to me a couple years ago, Jed, and said, God, Uncle Ernest, I love sports. I would love to be a sports commentator. I'd love to be on ESPN. I'd love to be on a big radio station here in Southern California. And I said, hey, Tim, I'll help you, and you know, let's go down the path. And you know, but what are we playing for? Where do you want to be? And we talked about, you know, his values and his goals and his direction. I said, but let's also talk about the compensation piece. He goes, oh, I'd like to be paid really well. Really well, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. I said, good, let's go learn about the sector. Let's go learn. Well, what did he find? That it's only a very, very small, teeny percentage that are earning hundreds of thousands of dollars. Most are earning $30,000 or less. Uncle Ernest, holy smokes, that little exercise to know what was possible in my career path, possible in my opportunities, froze me in my tracks, and I'm no longer going down that path. He chose a different B2B sales path and just absolutely has soared and got on to great and wonderful opportunities as a result. So point number seven. The last point, remember the work-life balance, okay? Have a great life. Have a great foundation. We opened up with this at the very beginning, right? You know, the five Fs, and we talked about family and faith and fitness and so forth. This is the back end of that. You know, have a great life-work balance. Work hard and play hard, okay? Never forget those who you love and those who love you. Always find the time to be there. Come from no regrets, all right? And at the same time, while you're thinking about your career path, be careful what you wish for, okay? Because your next step means you could leave every Monday and be gone traveling and not come back every Friday. For some of you, you go, oh, my gosh, Ernest, that's champagne, caviar, and cheesecake. Beautiful. For some of you, you grit your teeth going, I don't want that. And that's not a fit for what I want. So be careful what you wish for. Covey's principle, focus with the end in mind. Know what you're playing for in terms of your career path and your career acceleration. For those of you who are the presidents of your ad sales teams, VPs of sales, these are the get real conversations you're having with those on your team. You need to know about these eight driving principles. You need to know what every person on your team is playing for so you can put the right person into the right role and so they can win. Okay? Jed, we've covered a lot of ground. How about some closing words as we wrap up here for today?
Sure. Well, thanks again, Ernest. You know, we did cover a lot of ground, and I think you gave us all a lot to think about. I appreciate all you do for, you know, bringing so much experience and knowledge to these teleseminars, and thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Beautiful. beautiful. And Jed, thank you so much for all the support from you and your team over all of the years that we've worked together. I want to again encourage all of you, go to the MediaBits site, go learn about what MediaBits does. If you're already working with them, you know their formula for success. If you're not, a perfect opportunity to dive in, go deeper, meet with Jed, speak with their team, and learn more, and they will help you win. And yes, if you'd like to learn more about our Tuesday Ad Sales Academy and the other work that we do, just come into our Power Hour site, and you'll see the information that we have there for you. We'd love to have you join us. We only work with one company in a marketplace, in a category or sector, meaning we never, ever work with competing ad sales teams. So therefore, the strategies that we give to you will be yours exclusively. Jed, always a pleasure. See you next month. And to all of you, make it a fabulous day, and we'll be in touch. Take care.
Hey, thanks, everyone. Bye.